All right. Well, welcome everyone to another exciting episode of Sales Pipeline Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. If you are watching this live on LinkedIn Live in the middle of your workday, we're really excited that you're here. Thanks for showing up. You're the lucky folks that get to ask live questions of our guests today. I got a bunch here lined up, but if you've got questions for Randy as we get going, please feel free to throw those in. If you're watching this on demand, thanks very much for doing so. If you're listening through the podcast, you have an opportunity now. It's fairly new for us to do this format live on LinkedIn. But if you're subscribed to the podcast, thanks very much for doing so. And if you've missed any of our past episodes, you can catch every episode of Sales Pipeline Radio on demand at salespipelineradio.com. We are featuring every week some of the best and brightest minds in B2B sales and marketing. Today, very excited to have Randy Frisch. He is the CMO and co-founder of Uberflip. And Randy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. And I got to say, like, as we've all moved to be stuck at home, I can't tell you how many speaking gigs I've done of late that are pre-recorded. Like, I'm excited that this is live. This is, I don't understand why we've gone to a pre-recorded life when, you know, we adapted from a life that we were in front of actual people. So, you know, I'm glad we're going live.
You know what? Like, I've been told by some people, like, you gotta edit it. You gotta get rid of the pauses and the ums. I'm like, nah, this is how we talk. If we were in person, this is how we would talk. If we were on stage, this is what you get. I think this is how people interact. Yeah. You may be the first guest, though, since we've started doing the LinkedIn Live, that has the legit liquor cabinet behind you. I'm particularly envious of the Blanton's. So for those of you who don't know, the Blanton's is the one on the far left. It has the horse at the top. It is impossible to find. I don't know. Maybe you guys have it all in Canada. We have none down here.
No, you go into, first of all, in Canada or Ontario where I live, you have to go to a liquor store to get liquor. It's like controlled by the government. And you go in there and all the guys who work in there, girls who work in there, they're all great. But you'll say, like, do you got any Blanton's? And they just laugh at you. It's like, no, we don't have Blanton's.
Yeah, the Blanton's you can never find. Weller, if you like Blanton's and you haven't had Weller is also very good. It is produced. It's actually produced out of the Buffalo Trace Distillery now. But if you like Pappy and you can't find Pappy anywhere, and if you can, it's like $4,000 a bottle.
Well, Buffalo Trace is also where they produce Blanton's, or it's the same distiller.
Yeah. No, the Buffalo Trace is actually where they make the Pappy Van Winkle now as well. It's where sort of the third generation Van Winkle has his stuff made. If you like those and you can't find them, don't spend $4,000 on a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle. Spend $150 on a bottle of Weller. You will love it. You can thank us later. If you ever see a bottle of Blanton's, let Randy or I know, because I have been out forever. I am one horse away from completing the set. But that's not why we're here. So Randy, it was a couple years ago. I'm losing track of time over the last 12 months. You published a book that was basically, I'm going to say it anyway, Fuck Content Marketing, which was really sort of taking sort of a contrarian view around what content marketing is for. That it's not for clicks, it's not for likes, it's not for views. This is more about an experience you're creating for your buyers. And you know, this is, and so the idea of creating better experiences, better content, better formats to enable a buying experience is something that I know was a key part of the book. How has your thinking evolved since then? What are you seeing, especially in such an evolved go-to-market world the last 12 months? Where have content experiences come from there?
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. You know, first off, you know, writing the book was a great process for me, but the most exciting has been the amount of people rallying around it. Not telling you to click off this LinkedIn experience that you're on now live, but you know, I was just commenting on someone who was quoting the book, a woman named Nicole Bump, and you know, she had all this stuff, and there was this amazing passion of other people who believe this too. And I think, as you hit on it, the point with content marketing, the problem with content marketing is more so that we associate it so heavily with creation, but not utilization, not how does someone actually consume that? And, you know, that was my push to marketers. And it's a push not just to the content marketer, because we got to realize, like, content marketing, the creation of content, or many of us who are content marketers, and that's a skill. You know, I replied in this post and I said, you know, we never expected journalists to figure out how to take the story that they wrote for the newspaper and actually get it onto the shelves and figure out how they were going to monetize the publication as a whole. Like, that was a whole other team, right? That was the demand team inside of these journalism bureaus. That's the mindset we have to have with marketing. This is a team effort when it comes to content. And we now see more than ever that every way we engage or attract our audience ultimately leads back to content. If you send out an email, you don't want people living in the email. You want them clicking on a link in the email and driving them ultimately to something that you can track them on your website. If you deliver an ad, you want them to click on that ad and usually drop them into a piece of content. Same thing with social, same thing with our PR efforts, same thing even in, you know, I know this is all about sales pipeline, same thing when we think about every email that our sales rep sent, right? Like every email that I get from a sales rep says something along the lines of click here, right? And when I click there, the question is, where are they gonna send me? Are they gonna send me something that's engaging and relevant, or are they gonna send me to something that like that sales rep kind of hacked together?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, even though we have called this show Sales Pipeline Radio for years, you're kind of making the point that this isn't the Sales Pipeline Radio is about all of these things. Like, what of the things you're talking about is not ultimately about the pipeline, which is really sort of our internal seller way of talking about the buyer experience, the customer experience, and what we're doing to find people that have a need. I think, you know, Anne Hanley, who I know has spoken at a number of your events as well, has said, like, everything the light touches is content.
Yes. Right?
The way your receptionist answers the phone, the way the sales reps speak to a customer, when you say, you know, no problem versus my pleasure, like all of those things is content. And so this isn't just, like you said, what's in your email. It's not just what's on your website. There's an omni-channel, omnipresent experience you want to create for your customers. And that doesn't stop just with what marketing is producing. It includes very much so the interactions that sales is having directly and then sharing with their customers. Talk about kind of how you guys have seen and sort of your vision for how this content experience sort of goes from just being sort of something marketing is orchestrating to something marketing is enabling for the sales organization as well.
So, I mean... You know, as you mentioned, I co-founded Uberflip back in 2013, and a lot of that came from being a marketer myself who struggled with certain things where earlier in my career, I just went with it, right? I was like, all right, there's this broken way of doing it, but we're all doing it this way, so I'll do it that way too. And, you know, since then, I've kind of always rallied between watching the way we do things and thinking to myself, is there a better way? Now, let's think about salespeople for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I love a good sales rep. We have some amazing ones on my team who are very talented, but they're creatures of habit, right? And they do things the same way until they're told or really pushed to do it a little bit different. How many of you have gotten a sales outreach email in the last, you know, probably 20 minutes, right? We're getting them flooded into our inbox all the time. And one of the things that drives me nuts is when you get that email and it's, you know, half black text and half blue because it's half hyperlinks, right? It's like, click here or click here or click here or here. I mean, as marketers, we've always learned, like, we want them to click in one place. We want to drive them to that CTA. But the sales rep, they're kind of cobbling together all these different assets they think you want to have. And I think it's one of these broken practices that we watch happen. Mm-hmm. And we expect someone's going to actually know where to click within that, right? And even if they did come back to the inbox, what's the chances they get back to the inbox and they're not distracted by 10 other emails that have come in?
Right.
So there's this challenge there of, number one, how do we get sales to be an extension of that efficient marketing, well thought out email and help them structure it. The second part though that comes to that is, even when we do that, and I often poke at this email I once got from this guy named Danny. And like, Danny's this, you know, he actually, I'm not going to tell the company he was with or his last name, but this really happened. I got an email from Danny, and unlike the black and blue email I described, it only had one link and it was like, click here. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. Danny, you've hooked me. There was some good personalized copy in there. And I clicked there and it sent me to YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. And the video on YouTube was great. But as soon as I started watching, on the right, as we know with YouTube, out pops this, you know, did you know or want to watch next? And it had nothing to do with Danny's company, right? It was like something that my kid had watched earlier day, like Dude Perfect, or I don't know, or Mr. Beast. I don't know what they're watching now, but you know, the point is is that I was just distracted and I lost track, just like I do when I get back to my inbox. And it made me realize like this wasn't Danny's fault. Danny just like that's where the content lived. So I think one of the things that we have to be mindful of as marketers is we're so obsessed about where someone clicks and where we send them next, but we're only engaging with the buyer a small percentage of the time, you know, especially in the back and forth. You get into more sophisticated deals. The back and forth can be 600 emails, right? And that's, I think, our responsibility to empower the sales rep.
Well, and you say your buyer does not care to distinguish what comes from marketing versus what comes from sales. It's not that they're not smart enough. They just don't care. Like they're like, this email, did marketing write it? Did sales write it? Can I excuse them if the sales message is too aggressive than what the marketing message is? So there really is this broader buyer experience you want to enable. And it's more and more important now as people are busier and busier. Like, I think we're busier now than we were when we were in the office. It's like people may not have to go from conference room to conference room, but you go from one Zoom to the next and you still got to take a potty break. And if you think that long message that is all about you and not about the prospect is going to get through in between Zooms, you're kidding yourself. So your ability to curate that integrated experience is even more important than ever before. Is there, as you start to include the sales team in this, you know, we talk about sales enablement or the idea of this buyer enablement as a component of sales. What are some best practices for teaching a sales organization to think broadly about the buying journey? That sometimes three steps is faster than one.
Yeah.
You have to work at the buyer's speed to get where you both want to go.
I'm just looking at the tech we're using. Can I share my screen? Can I show you something? Or is that like in a complete...
I actually have no idea. You want to try? I don't know how you even do that.
This is fully unrehearsed. As you can
For those of you on the podcast, like this isn't going to make any sense. But if you can share... Hold on a second. I think I can... If I click on this one, there's a share button. So now if you share, it's going to share your screen and we'll go to smaller boxes. For those of you watching this live or on demand,
this is live.
This is live. Thank goodness this isn't the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. We've got fewer viewers than that. Okay, here it is. There it is. Woo!
So I use this with my own team. All right. So this is not like front-facing, collateral. But as you were asking that question, I had this slide. And I think as you were asking, like, what do we have to teach the salesperson? And I think it's a mindset, right? Like, you know, we all talk about putting the buyer in the center. That's great, right? But what ends up happening is this, right? And this is what I show to my team all the time, okay? So on one side, you've got everything that marketing is doing, right? We're sending emails, we're sending content, we're delivering ads. You know, that we are air cover, as it's often, considered. You know, but then, sales also is that they're saying, well, we've got our tactics, right? We're sending emails, we're sending content, we're making our calls. We have our own events. You guys have your events. We have our own events that we're doing. Like it's as much as it's got to be coordinated. Both teams are often in many organizations. They're operating separately. They're both doing this to try and create an experience for the customer. But we have to remember the customer is in the middle and they just like, they start to cry because they don't know what email is from who. Like we've all gotten this before, right? On that day, you get an email from the real John Smith. And then you get an email from the marketing automation John Smith, that's cooked up by the marketing team using your senior leader's name and photo and all that kind of stuff. And it looks generic, but the buyer's like, John just emailed me twice in a day and he's speaking over himself. Like this makes no sense. Yeah. And that's the part that I think we got to realize is the experience we need to create. And this is what I really speak to our team about often is like, we got to surround the buyer, don't get me wrong, but we got to do it so in a way that just feels more coordinated, as you see here, where everything feels intertwined. And that's where you get into some of the, even the tech that's out there. One of the things that I pushed internally with our team a number of years back, we use like solutions like SalesLoft for sales engagement. It's like that's tech that should be owned by marketing because those are emails that are being figured out in some sort of cadence. We got to figure out how that also jives with what we're sending from a marketing automation perspective. They need to feel side by side. They need to tell that same story at the end of the day. Yeah. How's that for an on the fly screen share
That was amazing. For those of you that can't watch, these are next gen slides we're looking at. 3D visuals. It's phenomenal. No, but I think the point is really important, you know, because I think if we think about this, I mean, in every one of us is a buyer. So like the example you just gave, like immediately started thinking about like the times I've gotten emails that are clearly, you know, a little too flossy for what someone would have sat down and wrote to me. Right. And so even just in tone and approach, it's different. Or God forbid, I've seen some companies that sort of like they make up a person. They have a made up persona sending out their drip emails and their drip campaigns. And then that you call to talk to that person. They don't exist. Well, how disingenuous is that? Right.
I'll tell you a funny quick story there. Yeah. Ours was named Katie yeah. Stewart. And the photo was my wife because like we were like, we got to make her real. We got to give her yeah. a LinkedIn profile. And yeah. then someone like messaged me one day to be like, did you know your wife has a twin or, you know, something like that on LinkedIn? I didn't know that. This is weird. Anyways.
What would be even better is if your wife was actually like in your attribution tool as having like she's the top sales rep at Uberflip now. Like everyone just like wants to buy from Kate. I was at a startup once and we used the name Ursula to sign a lot of our emails. Ursula was a real person. She was actually the admin for the sales team, but it was a unique enough name. People like we A/B tested it. People were more likely to respond to Ursula than they were to like Sally. Because it was a unique name. But I think you just had to have it be real. We're wrapping up. This has gone way too fast here with our guest today on Sales Pipeline Radio, Randy Frisch, who is the co-founder and CMO. Actually, no, aren't you the president now? I think you, as a co-founder, you can keep giving yourself raises and promotions just ad lib, right?
Yeah, CMO is where I'm most comfortable. President lets me sign the right checks, I guess, but yeah.
Hey, CMO with the power comes the spoils. You get to say focus on where you want. But we're just wrapping up here on Sales Pipeline with Randy Frisch. And, you know, I think it's one thing to say this is important. It's another thing to sort of orchestrate where it goes. I think just like with an account-based motion, you have to address the cultural changes that are required in an organization to start to blur these lines appropriately. For those that are listening to say, I get it. I'm in marketing. I want to orchestrate this better experience for my sales team, better experience for my active buyers in the sales pipeline. What are some best practices for beginning that conversation and migration with the sales team?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about some of the problems. The problems, if you were to sum them up, are the marketer does not give control to the sales rep. So the sales rep kind of goes wild and they grab links off YouTube like we discussed, or they, you know, put 7 links in their email. We don't want that. So we got to find ways to let them build the type of experiences that we, you know, slave over in marketing. Now, that was something, again, you know, we observed. I talked about like co-founding Uberflip. To me, it was like, how do we make it easy for people to do this? And, you know, what we found was in many cases, there were companies that were turning the corner, but they couldn't figure out the scale piece, right? And what would happen would be you'd have, let's use Katie as the email again, you know, as the fake marketer. You know, Katie would be sitting there and there's like some Slack channel or Microsoft Teams channel where each rep starts messaging her being like, I need a page of content for this account and I need a page of content for this vertical that I'm selling to. Mm-hmm. And at first Katie's like, I got you back, like each time. And then, you know, before you know it, everyone's like, oh, Katie's so responsive to the point that she's got like 100 requests for these individual pages of content. And that just doesn't work. And we were seeing that happen again, broken processes. So we actually said, we've got to find a way to, you know, to make this scalable. Now, if you're not ready for technology, do that with a spreadsheet, right? Like make it really easy for people to understand groupings of content that are living on pages or individual assets, if that's all you're sending to. I don't recommend, but you know, what we built at Uberflip was the idea of a way for the salesperson to build this on the fly, whether they're using, you know, their email client like Outlook or Gmail, or they're using a Salesloft outreach type of platform. The idea of being able to go and assemble the right content, make it feel personalized, and drop that single link in. So, you know, my advice there is, you know, you don't have to jump to technology on day one, but start to really arm your salespeople, right? Realize that this is something that they're doing all day long. And as much as you're going to slave over the emails you send through Eloqua or Marketo or whatever you may be using, you know, realize that there are 100 times that going from your sales reps and your CSMs. And we got to enable that as well.
Absolutely. Love that. Well, we got to wrap up here at our time with Randy Frisch. If you are familiar with UberFlip or not familiar, check out uberflip.com. Go to the resources page. Lots of great stuff. I know you guys have webinars and a workshop coming up in May. So as we record this in late April 2021, if you're listening to this in the next few days, definitely check it out. Some really great resources up there. So Randy, I think you're now T-minus 2 hours to head up to the cottage. Grab some. Now I see the second shelf. I don't know what I did to go back,
but yeah, I feel literally like more heavily judged.
Yeah, you know, you have. I can't really see it. The screen's a little too small, but I'm assuming that's the literal top shelf, and so that's the good stuff up there.
No, not quite. To be honest, I put the stuff I drink more often at the bottom shelf because my kids are still young enough not to be reaching up, but okay. Or they're the right age not to be reaching up. But, you know, we may have to reevaluate this whole thing down the line. My wife has wanted me to remove these for quite some time, but they're good conversation pieces we're seeing.
Well, listen, you wrote a book called Fuck Content Marketing. I think it's fully appropriate for you to have liquor behind you when you do videos. I appreciate you being willing and actually sort of promoting and being proactive at bringing a whole new level of visuals to Sales Pipeline Radio. Anyone who drinks both Blanton's as well as a Suntory Japanese whiskey is all right by me. So Randy Frisch, co-founder and CMO at UberFlip, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Matt.
Awesome. And thanks everyone for watching and listening to another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio. We are here every week at Thursdays, 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining.